The Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show contains explicit language and is intended for mature audiences only. But just because you're mature doesn't mean you can't be a little naughty.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. This is your WWE Fastlane preview, predictions, and a little bit more. I am Don Tony. Joined along with me, as always, is...
Kev Castle. What's up, man?
Not much. I was just trying to find the clip from my commentary last night saying that Dominic Mysterio will likely regain the NXT North American Championship because the Judgment Day all have to have gold, and it literally just went down right before we went live. And Kev, you know, the same thing like they did with Carmelo Hayes, the same thing like when Tiffany Stratton lost the belt to Becky Lynch. Oh, how could you do that to Trick Williams? He's buried. These motherfuckers don't even realize how few matches Trick Williams has right now. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are going to ultimately feud. Titles cannot be on the line. This way they can trade victories. You know, the problem is, for those that are basically seeing a lot of the fallout from NXT tonight, you're hearing and reading from people that don't watch NXT on a weekly basis. So they just see the match result and they get triggered, but they don't understand the meaning behind it. So I just find it funny. Oh, Mustafa Ali was supposed to win, so why did that? Oh, shut up.
Yeah, they whooped that Trick. He got whooped tonight. And it doesn't make him look bad because he got beat down by the whole crew.
Yeah.
And it was 4-1. So how does it make him look bad? I was telling Anthony before, I'm not even going to bother to go to social media because I'm going to want to retort, and I'll save that for later and just fully focus on the show as I should. But I can only imagine right now the buried emojis and stuff.
Yeah.
And you bury a guy who's not yet established.
I get it. It's cute. I find it cute. See, like in 2023, the phrase that we got to use to address those people is to go smell grass or go touch grass. 15 years ago, Kev and I would say to you, go eat a dick. You know, so now go eat a dick is now go touch
worse
grass.
Than that, actually, that would be kind. We would probably say a lot worse. But no, it's true. I just think that people always think there's some sinister plot behind it. It never makes, if you really stop and think about it, it would be like, you know, a baseball team signing, like the Mets signing a new manager, and then they bury him on purpose. Like, it just, wrestling fans are so jaded and conspiracy-oriented. It's amazing that, you know, anything, it's that they have to have a conspiracy theory about anything. Trick Williams is not only not buried, but this is probably going to be the best thing for him. Like you said, he's got Cuba, Carmelo Hayes. Both of them are going to be high profile. Got two African-American young up-and-comers that are going to be main event players someday if they stay injury-free and out of trouble. You can get a two-for-one here, and which is a great thing.
Storyline is easy. Next week, hey, bro, I told you I'd have you back tonight.
Hey, you didn't help me. Where were you? I was on my own.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're not going to give everybody a little NXT education. If they don't watch on a weekly basis, it's their loss. But what does Dominic Mysterio regaining the NXT North American Championship have to do with WWE Fastlane predictions? We'll tell you in a little bit. I want to welcome everyone to our preview and predictions for this year's Fastlane. This is the first Fastlane since 2021. For some reason, they did not have one last year. The first ever WWE Fastlane was in 2015, and I was looking at the match results from the first ever Fastlane to the last time we had a WWE Fastlane. And what I found very interesting is that the main event for Fastlane 2021 was Roman Reigns retaining the WWE Universal Championship, defeating Daniel Bryan. That was 2 years ago. The first ever Fastlane back in 2015, the main event was Roman Reigns defeating Daniel Bryan to become the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
Yeah, so both guys main eventing the last time we had Fastlane and the first ever Fastlane. So now, they have only announced five matches. And, you know, sometimes you got to go with quality over quantity. But, you know, Kev, when you think about Gunther, you think about, you know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, you think about, you know, so many wrestlers. How is it that we only have five matches announced for Fastlane?
That's a good question. I mean, are they? What is the plan, though? Is there a plan to tack on one or two more? Or
I expect them to add another match to it. And I want to put this out there right now, food for thought. I have this weird feeling that Jade Cargill is going to make an appearance at Fastlane. I think, especially with Grayson Waller, you know, doing all these Grayson Waller effects, and every time he does one of these shows, you know, I mean, he had, you know, Bobby Lashley on last week, which is not, I don't want to downplay it and say it wasn't high profile, but I think Grayson Waller, you know, they put him up with Cena. Yeah, they had him interact with Cody and others. They're putting him in high-profile positions, and he's teaming up now with Austin Theory, who just had that crazy segment with The Rock. I'm thinking Grayson Waller announces that he's going to have one of the biggest Grayson Waller effects ever, and he's going to announce that he's going to have Jade Cargill as his guest. I think Jade Cargill shows up. Doesn't mean she's on the main roster yet, but just like when they first signed Gable Steveson, you know, there's no reason why they can't introduce her to the WWE Universe. Maybe she nails a Jaded on Austin Theory, you know, just something just to show her face on WWE TV. Because right, honestly,
get her in front of the crowd. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I think, you know, you and I had like a quick 1 minute conversation before we went live, and you said, you know, do we think Jade Cargill would really be brought up, you know, in the beginning as a babyface? Right now, I think they want to maximize, you know, the media for her, all the attention, and, you know, you want to embrace it. You want to get as much publicity as possible. Besides, I think WWE, you know, you could put her on a banner, you could put her on a graphic, you could show her a picture of her in a performance center, but I think having her live on a WWE TV screen pretty much, you know, just seals the deal. You know, it's just the visual of her being on WWE television. I think she's going to be on. I do.
It's possible. I mean, I would probably say it's 50-50. You're right. Just to get her in front of there, I think of the Gable Stevenson. And they've brought other people out there before.
Yeah.
Who they've signed. I can't think of the names right now, but they've done stuff like this before. Because some people just go, really? Fastlane? It's not one of their big, like, big pay-per-views they're going to bring her out for that. And I would probably say, yeah. I mean, listen, everyone's watched. Turns out that the ones that you don't expect to be so good from WWE, like kind of a throwaway, we would call them, have not been throwaways. Those pay-per-views have actually been very good. The ones that you think you would sleep on turn out to be as good as the big ones.
Yeah. I think with all the buzz of Adam Copeland, Edge, you know, debuting on AEW television and, you know, right out the gate, you know, they have him plastered all over the banners, you know, the Collision ticket sales coming up. Like, he has basically replaced CM Punk front and center on all the banners. So I think just to get Jade Cargill in front of a live WWE audience, it's not to offset Edge, but with Adam Copeland now All Elite, we need that visual of Jade Cargill WWE.
Yeah, I think WWE, it's not that they're counterattacking, but I think that there is a one-upsmanship, even if it's not said, it's maybe under the table, so to speak. It's not only because they're threatened or anything like that. I think WWE just likes the element of surprise, and yeah, they like to pop the crowd like that, whether it's the internet or the live crowd. And I think it's really Triple H who gets that job done.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Well, so as of right now, we got five matches, and I guess since we just had a little bit of a conversation with regards to Dominic Mysterio, let's talk about the match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Finn Balor and Damian Priest will be defending the titles against Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. Now, they announced tonight on NXT that Cody Rhodes will be on next week to make a major announcement. And for those that may not be aware of this, I know I've talked about it before. I'm sure you've talked about it with Mish as well. Next Tuesday, AEW is on same time as NXT. And the only reason is because of playoff baseball. There's a game on Wednesday, the 10th of October, so AEW is forced to go on Tuesday. So WWE is loading up NXT, you know, to keep their viewers and not have them go to the competition, which, you know, it's regular business. But Cody Rhodes making the announcement next week doesn't really factor in or tease what the outcome is here.
Right.
But, you know, something that you and I have talked about before, you know, WWE wants that visual with the Judgment Day, just like the Bloodline. Like, everybody in the Bloodline had to have all the gold. You know, we know Sammy didn't have gold. Sammy is not necessarily Bloodline. He was a member, but he's not actual blood. But the Judgment Day, when Dominic Mysterio lost the championship, we knew that on Raw, the first thing that would happen is Rhea Ripley would read the Riot Act, that everybody else has a title except for Dom Dom. That's why when I made my banner, my thumbnail for Monday, I showed everybody holding a championship and Dominic Mysterio holding the paper bag, because that is a visual that is not going to stick. So now you have Dominic Mysterio regain a championship. Does anybody in their right mind think that now all of a sudden Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso are going to dethrone Finn Balor and Damian Priest for those titles? They want the visual of everybody having gold. There is no chance whatsoever that Finn Balor and Damian Priest lose these tag titles. Do you agree, or do you see the possible scenario that they could lose it to Cody and Jey?
I mean, that would get a hell of a reaction. Again, if you're going for the kind of, I'm not going to call it the cheap pop. I think it's a great pop. I mean, the Cody to team up with what was once his arch enemy, and then, you know, there's some Bloodline stuff that can play into that down the road. If, you know, as we all predict, Cody will be the guy to go against Roman Reigns. I'm not convinced that it's The Rock. I think it's still most definitely going to be Cody versus
totally
Roman.
Agree.
So the road to WrestleMania, though, it starts with the Royal Rumble. I think it could start as early as this week. I mean, literally. I mean, little hints of it. It's not official. They don't make it official until, you know, the end of the year after the holidays. But I think everything plants a little seeds here and there. Yeah, I don't think they lose it either, because the Judgment Day right now, by default, because Roman has not been on television for a while, is the number one faction in all of WWE right now. They're the primary focus. And I think the thing about them is that they can get into it with baby faces and heels, which is a good part of that faction.
Right.
Seems like they'll scrap and beef with anybody. So there's so many possibilities. But that's a great match. I mean, that's going to be exciting. The crowd's going to be into that. You got Jey Uso, who's massively over. Cody Rhodes, top two next to LA Knight, two most over baby faces. You got Jey and Cody. It's going to be a big deal. And, you know, I don't see any title. Right, I agree. I don't think Dominic just got the title back, as we said at the beginning of the show, North American Championship. They're all wearing gold. Every one of them having gold plays into this whole storyline. And they can't just end it on Saturday. Right. You know what I mean? Abruptly. So this will carry on, but it's going to be an exciting match. I mean, it's a fun match because people are like, what, Cody and Jay teaming up? Like, if they win the belt, isn't this thrown? No, I think this all leads to Cody going back to the bloodline. Of course, we know Jay and his brother will be on a collision course too at WrestleMania. Yeah. So it all plays into each other. It's a slow build.
Well, I will throw a wild card out there, which in no way, shape, or form do I believe this is going to happen. But for anybody out there that thinks that Cody and Jay could possibly win these titles, let this idea sink in. If Cody and Jay become the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions, they could show up on SmackDown. And that is the easiest way to get both guys on SmackDown because they are the champions representing both brands. So if Jay were to show up on SmackDown to troll his brother, like, look what I got, and look what Cody has. Cody's got your title. You know, because the Usos had those belts for a very long time. So they could end up just showing up on SmackDown and trolling Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa. So that is something for everybody to think about. Now, Cody Rhodes making a big announcement on NXT next week. I don't think this is the announcement, but it kind of could. Maybe Cody Rhodes announces that he's been drafted to SmackDown. And the only reason why I say that is a possibility but unlikely is because I thought about this long and hard. If Cody Rhodes were to announce on Monday Night Raw that he's been drafted to SmackDown, I think the fans would kind of boo. Why would they be happy that the guy is no longer going to be on Raw? So if you do it on NXT, that's kind of like neutral grounds. It's like Switzerland. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Raw and it's not SmackDown. So if Cody Rhodes announces on NXT that he is drafted to SmackDown, I think the crowd would pop. I think if he announced that he was going to be on both brands, it would pop. So that is something to think about as well. But I think we all agree at the end of the day, you know, I know Jayna McDonagh is not Judgment Day as of yet, but who knows? Maybe Jayna McDonagh ends up, you know, getting a championship as well. Who he defeats, I don't know, but I think we both agree Finn Balor and Damian Priest walk out. Now, do you think there's any chance that Jimmy Uso costs Jey Uso the win at Fastlane?
I'm not sure. I don't know if because I think they are saving those two for Mania. That's a pretty long haul. I mean, what is that, 5 months? I mean, if he goes in, you know, they'll have their big singles match come next year, but they have to get through all these months. I don't know if it's – I think they will save Jimmy for interfering with Jay a little bit down the road. I think this would be too quick.
Yeah,
you know, there's other guys in this feud. There's so many moving parts to this feud and so many things that can happen. That's why it would be amazing. We've been on a pretty good – you mentioned it a couple of times, and I've noticed it too. I don't know if it's just, you know, the elements in the air, but we've gotten a lot of predictions right, almost scary.
Yeah, I actually I keep a little tally, and between me and you, in 2023, our percentage of predicting match outcomes correct is currently 96.5%.
That's pretty amazing.
We got to start betting on, DraftKings?
Right?
Yeah, we got to start betting on DraftKings. Come on, patrons, everyone else, Patreon, join us.
Yes,
give us some cash and some extra revenue so we could go gamble. All right, so let's move on to another tag match. Three tag matches, by the way, for this card. Now, I graduated high school. I think you did as well. Even if we just say we graduated kindergarten, I think we also understand mathematics here. We have a six-man tag team match happening at Fastlane. On one side, it's the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. Okay, those are three guys. This is a six-man tag match. On the opposite side, we have Rey Mysterio, Santos Escobar, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro. That is four. We got four on one side, three on the other. How is it going to be a six-man tag match? They have not announced which members of the Latino World Order are going to be in this. Yeah. I get this feeling that Rey or Santos Escobar, one of them may actually not be physically in this match. we may get Joaquin Wild and Cruz del Toro, which I have nothing against personally, but I personally feel that WWE has never, ever taken them seriously as far as a legit tag team to be a threat in the tag team division. I think the reason why they have gotten even as much play as they have is because the Latino World Order would look dopey if it was just two guys and a girl. That sounds like a bad porno film. So, yeah, you know, I'm not interested in seeing Joaquin Wild and Cruz del Toro in this match because they are going to get squashed like a grape. So whatever combination they decide to do, and honestly, if I was WWE, just have it 4-on-3.
Yeah.
Just have it 4-on-3. But for me, I don't think there's any debate. I think Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, they have to get this win. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, everyone keeps calling them the new Hurt Business. They haven't officially called themselves that. I wonder if that is going to come to fruition this week as well, this weekend as well.
Yeah.
When they have this match, and I think the outcome is going to be them winning. Obviously, Lashley pulled the thing last week where they can't afford to lose the Street Profits. I thought he actually took back the suits and the watches. I guess he didn't. I guess he's giving them one more chance.
Yep.
So there's no way that they can lose. And I wonder if then there's a declaration that they're officially even called the Hurt Business. I think people projecting. But, I mean, I hope they bring the Hurt Business back now with this new faction. Everyone keeps saying that once Carmelo Hayes wraps up at NXT, he'll be part of this faction too. Yeah. Or again, it just could be fantasy booking by fans. But I'm down for that too. I think that's a great idea. But yeah, I just don't see the Street Profits have to win. I mean, Bobby Lashley already threatened them that if they lose again or embarrass him, they're done. So, you know, the Latino World Order doesn't really have that on the line. Right? Ray didn't say, I'm quitting this faction if you guys lose. So yeah, you're right, DT. It's going to be the two you know, lesser parts of Latino World Order. I mean, Ray is going to what? Say he's hurt, or is Santo Escobar going to maybe plant the seeds of a heel turn and fake that he's injured so he doesn't have to take part in the match?
Yes. Any chance? Listen, this is not a black or a white thing. All right, I want to make this clear because in 2023, people get really weird really quickly. But the Latino World Order, you're not going to have a Chinaman in a Latino World Order. You're not going to have an Italian guy. Hey, how you doing in a Latino World Order? You know, maybe JT Smith or Tommy Rich could get away with it, but the LWO, it's for Latinos. Bobby Lashley's group, the perception, anytime anybody talks about adding members, the member's always black, yeah. which is cool. I have no issue with that whatsoever. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is any possibility, or do you like the idea maybe of Jade Cargill joining that group? Jade Cargill ends up offsetting, like, ultimately getting at Zelina Vega?
I don't know. Jade is so much bigger than Zelina Vega. It would be as ridiculous as when China...
Look at Rhea Ripley and Zelina.
I know, but I remember when China ragdolled Terry, Goldust's wife, Marlena.
Kev.
And it just looks so... And now Marlena's not a wrestler. Zelina is a wrestler. And Zelina had the big match in Puerto Rico versus much larger Rhea Ripley. But I don't know if they want to, I mean, unless Selena's down with just being a sacrificial lamb all the time and just glad to have a job, have seen half her friends released. Maybe that could be a DT. It would look kind of ridiculous because Jade Cargill is just such a superhero looking type. And you know, her leg is bigger than Zelina Vega. So I don't know. Would that be impressive for Jade, who's this statuesque bombshell, beat up little Zelina Vega? I don't know. Wouldn't they want to go a little bit higher with that on the Richter scale for Jade?
I agree. I Kev, you know, I swear, this is an outdated reference, but I know enough people will get a kick out of it. You know, when Chyna debuted and she just shook Terry Reynolds like a rag doll, I swear to you, ever since that moment, even to this day, whenever I see that clip, I always think about Ricardo Montalban in The Naked Gun when they were in Angel Stadium and he is supposedly has Priscilla Presley and he's shaking the doll and just going, Frank!
I just saw that the other day.
I'll tell you.
It's funny that someone commented one time on the YouTube, wow, what kind of budget did they have that they couldn't use a real person for that? I'm like, you're such an idiot. That's not what
that's
it's about.
That's supposed to be. It's Kev, it's like the Benny Hill. When Benny Hill or somebody would fall down the building and they would land and it would be just like a dummy. And then and suddenly and he would just pop off. Up.
Yeah. There's the visual right there.
What about Married with Children? When Al Bundy used to always fall off the roof. It was always mannequin. Yeah. Intentionally.
But it just shows that someone actually wrote that on YouTube. What the hell? I'm like, it's not a budget thing. It was the whole silliness of it.
Exactly. Listen, I know a lot of people say Bianca Belair with Bobby Lashley's group because she is, you know, with Montez Ford.
Yeah, but, you would think.
I just picture that portrait of Bobby Lashley, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, Jay Cargill. And you could add Carmelo Hayes to it as well. I mean, this is like, you know what? That's like Judgment Day and Bloodline, like just put together. I mean, WWE, and listen, that could very well happen. Maybe not necessarily the participants we're talking about, but you got to look at it like this. They did the Bloodline. They hit a home run. And the Bloodline has been the focus of SmackDown for well over a year and a half. Then they did the Judgment Day, and the Judgment Day caught fire. And now the Judgment Day has been the focus of Raw for a good year or so.
Interesting.
So if you have a faction of four, five, six people, and it works for SmackDown, and then you do another faction on Raw with four people, and that works, you kind of feel, okay, you know, let's do it now with the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley and a female and another person. And then you know what's going to happen, Kev. Yeah. If we get Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits, and either Bianca or Jade Cargill, we're going to get that moment. And this is what I envision. This is what I envision. And maybe people get a kick out of this. Not necessarily Survivor Series or the Royal Rumble or anything else, but one day, I think we will see in the middle of the ring, on one side, it'll be the Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, and Jade Cargill. And on the opposite side, it's the Judgment Day, Dominic Mysterio, and Rhea Ripley. And when Rhea Ripley is face-to-face with Jade Cargill, and the Street Profits are face-to-face with Finn Balor and Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio is face-to-face with Bobby Lashley, even though, you know, Bobby would kill him, I think you'll get that same holy shit chant like when we saw the Shield and the Wyatt family. Before they even touched each other, they just stood the ring against each other, and everybody was just chanting, holy shit.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. And I like, you know, if this comes to fruition, I think you're the first person to say it, that you're right. You know, they built one big faction almost like a yearly. A couple of years ago was the Bloodline. Then a little over a year and a half ago, it was Judgment Day. Maybe it is time now, as we're closing on the end of the year, to form a new faction and of a whole African-American you know, coalition that can be really, very successful. I mean, especially if it's Carmelo Hayes, the future right there, Jay Cargill and Carmelo represent the future. Bobby is the Triple H of the group or the Roman Reigns of the group. And then you have the tag team on the side would be equivalent to the Usos would be, Street Profits. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I'm actually excited at the possibility. Now I'm really thinking about it. I'm like, wow. No, factions have been successful. Merch is flying off the shelves of Judgment Day, and Bloodline still sells.
Yep.
So you're right. That could be a powerful group. Yeah. It really could be. That could be a dominating group for 2024. Yeah.
Something to think about down the line. And then if you even want to, like, tease it, you know, Bianca Belair is not in that faction, but everybody knows that Bianca is with Montez Ford. Their reality show is coming out very, very soon.
That gives her a reason to go after Jade or Queen is. They don't have to literally make it a racial thing, but two African-American, alpha females. Yeah. That's a great story. I mean, it really is.
And if you want to go one step further, if the Street Profits ever split up, you could have Montez Ford and Bianca Belair versus Angelo Dawkins and Jay Cargill.
Good. Dude, I like the possibilities. I'm going to remember this. If this happens, full credit to you, before someone else steals it.
WWE, if you're listening, you know, Kev and I could work part-time. You know, we could work remote. You know,
we're available.
I hope everybody likes this little additional commentary. We like to do this, especially when premium live events have a very, listen, this is not Wrestle Dream with its 14 matches, you know, because with 14 matches, it's almost like how Shinsuke Nakamura counted to 10 on Raw last night. He's like, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. You know, it's like, we got to like fly through everything, but here we could like take a little step back and maybe fantasy book a little bit. A lot of what Kevin and I say in a fantasy booking. But I personally think that a lot of you out there, yes, we are pandering, a lot of you out there come up with better ideas than the shit we see on WWE and AEW TV at times.
I agree. You know,
and I think we do as well. So, but I think at the end of the day, we all agree, Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, winning this match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next, Io Sky defends the WWE Women's Championship in a three-way against Asuka and Charlotte Flair. And I'll say this to open it up. I get angry when I see people online complaining that Charlotte Flair is getting another championship opportunity. You got three of the top talented women in women's wrestling today. Why would you not want to see the top women compete? Charlotte Flair, whether you like her or not, is, in my opinion, top two, top three in the last 15 years of women's wrestling. A lot of people now are starting to, you know, shift towards Becky Lynch being the number one women's wrestler of all time because now she's giving back a little bit. And the NXT stuff, she's hit a home run with Tiffany Stratton. I still think Charlotte Flair holds that throne with Asuka a close second. But where are you going with this in this match, Kev? Do you think we would possibly have a new women's champion, or do we think that Io Sky will retain? Maybe with help from Bayley, or maybe Bayley's help backfires and she loses the title.
What I'm going to go with just what you said. I was just going to say, I'm going to go with the backfire, and I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair getting the belt. I'm getting it back. I think Charlotte wins. I don't think they're putting the belt on Asuka again. I have a feeling Charlotte can win. Charlotte's been interjecting herself literally and figuratively in this whole thing. So I think you're right that it can be the beginning. I think they want to have some sort of discourse or disdain between Bayley and the rest of them. I might be wrong here, but I'm going to go with Charlotte getting the belt by some way, shape, or form.
Do I change your mind at all if I say to you that today on NXT they announced that Asuka will be appearing in NXT next week to take on Roxanne Perez? Could Asuka show up with the WWE Women's Championship, or you still go with Charlotte Flair?
I just think that they are not going to put the belt back on Asuka. She had it. I don't think she's getting it back. And I think they want to continue to pad Charlotte's resume with these, you know, I don't know how many times champion she would be again. But yeah, I'm going to just take a long shot here and say that there's some sort of thing that backfires on Io Sky, which causes a feud that's in the making for a while now. Even though there's so many different people who look to be turning on others and flipping sides. But I think with the women, they don't really have that. They have that with the men, all these possibilities of changes. I'm just going to go with Charlotte getting it by some sort of chicanery, and that's how Charlotte becomes a heel, because Charlotte won it in a dirty way. And because Charlotte as a babyface is horrible. I can't stand Charlotte as a babyface. So, no, I'm going to stick to, I could be wrong here and at my own peril, but I'm going to go with Charlotte getting it by some clusterfuck.
Just for statistical purposes, we always hear about Ric Flair being a 16-time heavyweight champion. Right now, Charlotte Flair is a 14-time women's champion. So, obviously, at some point, Charlotte Flair will surpass her father for the number of title reigns. It's and honestly, I think Ric Flair pushes for that. Ric Flair, very proud of his daughter. Number one, I do not envision Asuka showing up on NXT next week with the WWE Women's Championship. I am in total agreement with you there. I think, and Kiana James, the storyline is that Kiana James is bringing Asuka to NXT next week. I think after Asuka defeats Roxanne Perez, I think Kiana James is going to think that she's chummy with Asuka, and then I think Asuka is going to lay out Kiana James. But there's no championship that will be there. What it comes down to is Io Sky retaining, Charlotte Flair winning. We got to look at what's next on the horizon. Io Sky has this belt, and it almost feels like the Carmelo Hayes Trick Williams scenario.
Yeah,
we've been talking about Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. They are going to feud, but neither one should have a championship right now, because if a belt is on the line, you know, if you trade wins, you're trading title wins, unless there is DQs and countouts, and, you know, that gets old very quickly. But when there's no championships on the line, if Melo is a champion, then Trick, or, you know, if he cheats to win, you know, there's a belt there, there's a problem. So with no belt on the line, either one could pin each other, and we don't have to worry about title changes. I think the same thing with regards to Io Sky. You know, with Io Sky, she's going to feud with Bayley, and it's happening. The WWE is just, for some reason, taking 7 fucking months to do it. Yeah, I mean, I think Dakota Kai's injury kind of put a little bit of a monkey wrench in it, but we thought Io was going to turn babyface 6 months ago, and it never happened. And I still remember when they went to Puerto Rico, and that pop that Io Sky got was incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And you know these fans are clamoring to just be able to cheer the fuck out of Io Sky. I think Bayley allowing Asuka to be in this match to make it a three-way, if people remember SmackDown Friday and Io Sky was like, she didn't say that. She no say that. You know, when Bayley said, you want to be in a match, you're on. I think Io Sky loses her championship, but I think what could happen is Asuka could be the one to get pinned. I think Charlotte Flair will pin Asuka, who technically wasn't supposed to be in the match originally, and Io Sky loses her championship without being pinned, and Charlotte Flair pins the woman that Bayley put in the match because Bayley thought Asuka wanted to be at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going with you. Charlotte Flair, 15-time women's champion on the horizon. All right. That leaves us two matches. Which one you want to cover next? I know which one you want to cover next, because I know how you feel about this feud. So we don't want to close out Fastlane predictions with this feud, but
Seth and Shinsuke.
Yeah, Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura in a last man standing match. I know there's a lot of people that have not really felt this feud. Kev, have you warmed up on this feud, or you just can't wait to move on to the to the next one?
Well, it's because I know that there's, you know, like we just talked about with Io Sky, the possibilities of losing the belt are great. I mean, it's even more than 50-50. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's no way, all of a sudden they give Shinsuke Nakamura the world championship in this environment under new ownership. That would be just odd to me. Unless Seth Rollins literally is going to go away and Seth agreed to job to Shinsuke to give him his flowers, so to speak, one last time in this company. I just don't see it. I think, listen, Shinsuke's been getting the upper hand. Every week he beats Seth Rollins up. Yeah. You know, every week he gets the best of him. Every week.
Yeah.
I think we're on the fourth or fifth week in a row that he has gotten the best of Rollins.
Yes.
That Rollins has left laying down. So it makes it to some of the fans maybe not as smart fans, and I'm not saying that like in a nasty way, thinking, wow, could Shinsuke's like really got Seth's number? Could he win? But I think to us old veterans, we kind of know how this goes. They're trying to give the illusion, you know, suspension of disbelief that Shinsuke Nakamura could. He's capable. He was a top guy in New Japan. He was a top guy once upon a time here a few years back before they just, you know, kind of dumbed down his character. Flipped him babyface heel, babyface now is a heel again. I would be shocked if they gave him the title. I mean, if he got the belt, there would be an announcement that Seth Rollins is taking an indefinite leave of absence due to a back injury. That would be the only way. But I think Seth retains. I think it'll take him to the limits. I think they'll have a great match. I think both guys want to have a great match. But I just don't see where other things, you know, there's a possibility of someone can lose the title. I think it's so small. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm going to go with Seth retaining, but Shinsuke really taking him to the limits. I predict a 4-5-star match, but in the end, Seth gets the victory.
I agree with you for a little bit of a different reason. I will say this. I was pleasantly surprised on how good this storyline feud has become. Not necessarily on Seth Rollins' side. That's not a criticism on Seth Rollins. I am a fan. But I think Shinsuke Nakamura, I mean, I look back at his WWE main roster career, and this is by far my favorite version of Shinsuke Nakamura on that main roster. I love that they're not hiding behind the fact that he doesn't talk great English. You know, you can use subtitles. You know, we don't have to hear English. You know, we could read text. We're not blind, most of us. And, you know, Shinsuke comes off as sinister. Shinsuke, the way he talks, you believe it. He seems like he's having fun. But I am in total agreement with you that this is old school, that they have to build this suspension of disbelief that Shinsuke Nakamura could dethrone Seth Rollins. So you factor in the back, and then he keeps working on the back, and Seth shows weakness. And even though he is angry and he's got intensity and adrenaline, doesn't take away the fact that he's got a bad back, and Shinsuke is exposing it. So they needed two premium live events to really bring out the best of this storyline. But the thing is, at the end of the day, like you said, Shinsuke got the best of Seth Rollins week after week after week. Maybe not physically every single week, but mentally 1 week, physically another, mentally and physically another. Shinsuke has had Seth Rollins' number. But I think what's going to happen is Seth Rollins is going to get very, very creative. Maybe Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, maybe they'll repeat where you dump a bunch of furniture on top of him and he has no way of getting out of it, and that's how he loses because he can't get up at the count of 10. I don't know about Shinsuke Nakamura being totally knocked out, but there's a little, there's something in the background that I think is going to appear very, very shortly. And this is the reason more than anything why I believe Seth Rollins will retain. I think Drew McIntyre is going to show up, maybe not on Fastlane, but after Seth Rollins retains, Drew McIntyre is going to beat the balls out of Seth Rollins. He is going to, you know, hurt him with the back. Shinsuke basically, he definitely helped the back storyline for Seth Rollins. So now anybody that shows up and beats Seth Rollins down with the back, they already have an easy storyline fed to them because Shinsuke has been doing it for 2 months. I think Drew McIntyre, when he teased to Miz on Raw, like, Miz, what do you expect me to do? You want me to beat down Seth Rollins with the bad back? That's what you want me to do? I think Drew McIntyre is going to do that. I think Drew is next in line, and I think he may actually dethrone Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship.
That's fair. All right.
I mean, after Clash at the Castle a year ago, where a lot of us thought that Drew McIntyre, that was going to be his day, it didn't happen. In hindsight, it was a smart thing to do because of the Cody Rhodes scenario, which is, you know, going to happen at WrestleMania 40. But you got to give, like, Drew's got to come out with some type of gold if you're going to turn him heel. So
no, I agree. That Drew is definitely turning heel. And, your scenario is pretty good, too. Like I said, the great thing is it can go either way, and that's, you know, That's the great thing about it. It's predictions are just that. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. So we go with Seth to retain, but we also believe down the line, you know, Drew McIntyre is definitely a possibility, a strong possibility. So that leaves us with the Bloodline, Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa taking on. Now, just to add a little to this, Paul Heyman will be in the corner of the Bloodline. On the opposite side, we have John Cena and LA Knight. Now, next week on NXT, Carmelo Hayes is going to take on Bron Breakker. John Cena has been announced to be in the corner of Carmelo Hayes. But in the corner of Bron Breakker is going to be Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool because to see Paul Heyman in the corner of Bron Breakker is going to be a hell of a lot of fun, especially since Bron Breakker is not Bloodline. That's going to be cool. You don't ever see Paul Heyman like in someone else's corner unless they're affiliated with the Bloodline in some way, shape, or form. But this dynamic at Fastlane is going to continue a little bit between Paul Heyman and John Cena. But LA Knight right now, you know, listen, I brought it up yesterday. You know, this weekend from SmackDown to WrestleDream, we had, you know, two of the loudest pops in recent memory. When LA Knight's music hit, when Cena was getting beat down on Friday, that crowd fucking erupted. You know, and then we had Adam Copeland show up at WrestleDream and the crowd erupted as well. So it's fun to get those old school, legitimate, big time pops. And a couple of weeks ago, we had The Rock make an appearance. Nobody expected that. And that crowd went bananas as well. So we're getting some really pleasant, you know, surprises. And, you know, it's a fun time. But LA Knight, you know, being elevated to the next level, getting the rub from John Cena in the process. Kev, my scenario with this is simple. I think LA Knight and Roman Reigns is happening later this year. We know that Roman Reigns is keeping these belts until WrestleMania 40. So because he's not losing these belts, the other scenario to keep fans happy is to give fans matches that, you know, people want to see, even though Roman is not going to lose the title. Roman could lose by DQ, which is a lot of old school back in the day. But I think LA Knight and John Cena get this win. Roman Reigns is scheduled for next Friday SmackDown. I think Roman shows up again, not happy at all at Solo for losing at Fastlane. I think there's even a chance where Roman is like, Jimmy, you're not in the Bloodline. Who said you're back in the Bloodline? You know, like, what are you talking about? You know, I think that loss is going to stir up the shit with Roman Reigns. And then on top of it, you have the Jey Uso factor and the Cody Rhodes factor. But LA Knight, I think, comes out bigger from this match. I'm going with John Cena and LA Knight to take this. What do you think?
I don't know. There's, again, a lot to unpack here as far as...
Do you see LA Knight and Roman Reigns going at it this year?
Yes, I think, because people are like, oh, you're going to sacrifice LA Knight. Well, LA Knight, I don't think, is ever in the plans to be the world champion. I think that, you know, feeding guys to Roman Reigns, but in a way that it'll benefit those guys too.
Yeah.
I mean, as we know, you don't always have to win to get elevated or to get a rub out of a, you can even get a rub out of a loss.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at, what's her name?
Tiffany Stratton.
Tiffany Stratton is a great example of that. So I don't, you know, sacrificing again, you know, I guess I'm just going by the narrative that I see with certain people posting, and it's rubbed off on me a little bit. But not in a good way, because I just think those people are short-sighted. They're not seeing the big picture. I don't think there ever was a plan, because people would say, well, there's no plan for Daniel Bryan to be champion. And then the Yes movement happened. And Daniel Bryan was also a young man. This is, LA Knight is 41 years old. I mean, I don't, he's not the future face of the company. That's not a good business model. He's an attraction, and I think LA Knight will be an attraction, and he'll be a guy almost the way like a Roddy Piper was, who over doesn't necessarily have to have a title. LA Knight doesn't have to be the world champion. I think that's ridiculous. But I think that he can have some bangers with Roman Reigns and get some great crowd reaction, be a hot crowd. You know, Roman still has his fans, but he's mostly hated. But, you know, and that'll get a big rub for LA Knight. I mean, you know, a year ago, this guy was Maximum Male Models. A year later, he's with Roman Reigns. I mean, it's got to be a dream come true for LA Knight. So I don't see it as a bad thing. I think a lot of things can happen. John Cena, you know, people are concerned, DT. We should mention this, too, because the strike has been settled.
Yeah.
So is Cena still committed to the end of the year like he said he was? He was going to be here for a while, meaning a few months. I think Cena was committed till December, when I remember. I'm not sure. Was it Survivor Series or a couple of months?
I'm looking at the original banner right now, and originally they had John Cena confirmed up to Friday, October 27th.
Halloween. Okay.
Yeah, so we have, after this Friday's go-home show leading into Fastlane, there's three more Fridays afterwards. Now, after October 27th, that's when we lead into Saudi Arabia. John Cena's already been announced for Saudi Arabia.
Right, he's going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he's going to Saudi Arabia. So I think what happens is maybe John Cena is in the corner of LA Knight for Saudi Arabia if they go LA Knight versus Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be in a match. I know they're going to have that soccer player, Christian, I can't remember, Ronaldo or something like that.
Is it Christian? Yeah, the guy who's married to the Spice Girl. Right?
Yeah, I think he's going to be.
No, that's the other guy.
Yeah, well, whoever he is, he's going to be involved in this as well. And I think John Cena and him, not saying they're going to have a match, but they're actually going to get a little bit animated on this show, maybe together, not against each other. But, you know, this week is Fastlane weekend. Next week, Roman returns, and I don't know if we're going to have Roman interacting as much with John Cena as we think they will, because I think next week Roman has got to address Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe John Cena trolls a little bit, but I want everybody to remember, after the next Friday when Roman returns, Cena is only announced for two more Fridays. He could be till the end of the year, like you said, but he is only publicly been confirmed for two more Fridays, and one of them is probably going to really intensify Saudi Arabia. So this might be Cena gradually, you know, exiting again, and LA Knight, you know, like elevating a little bit. LA Knight's not going to replace John Cena.
No.
But maybe the whole goal with this is for John Cena help get LA Knight into a bigger, you know, cement him as taking it to the next level. Not necessarily, we're not talking passing the torch because they're not going to have a match against each other, but John Cena giving LA Knight enough of a rub that when, if Cena leaves again to go back to Hollywood in November, he leaves SmackDown with LA Knight in a much better place because of his involvement with him.
I agree with that. That's really what the game plan is. John Cena's not here to win titles. Again, the feuds with Roman Reigns and stuff that's been done, Roman Reigns has decisively beat him. There's no point in that happening. People would probably maybe like to see it again, but it's not necessary. And I think it's about, you're right, LA Knight getting the rub, continued rub. Some might even say, does he really need the rub from John Cena? Not necessarily, but I think he needs the endorsement for the doubters,
yes,
who think LA Knight is kind of, you know, this is a year from now. Is anybody be going, yeah, or is it going to be a passe term? Is it just like a certain style of shirt being in for 1 year?
Yeah.
Is he for the long run, or is he for now?
Yeah.
And I think that there are some doubters. I mean, I'm a little bit of a doubter, too, because of how long he's been around, his age. And, you know, this thing, yeah, is so generic. It's just, you know, another yes or another hell yeah. It's just, it's not anything that original.
Yeah.
His act isn't anything that original. But I think, again, people, what they see in him is what they used to like in guys like The Rock and Steve Austin and guys like that. So, I mean, that's why people are like, yeah, I don't know, I'm really into LA Knight because you were into The Rock and Steve Austin shtick. That's why.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's almost like, hey, I liked the other day when Corbin came out on the motorcycle. Why did I like that? Oh, because I liked when the American Badass Undertaker did it. You know, I thought it was kind of cool. He'll never be the Undertaker. But again, you know, little takeoffs and little offshoots of stuff that's been done before, you know, no problem. You know, again, I've warmed up to LA Knight a little bit in the last few weeks because I do realize that SmackDown does kind of, especially with Reigns not being around, they need someone to really pop the crowd and really take the spotlight. You know, I can't wait for Reigns to come back. I actually miss Roman Reigns not being on TV.
Me too.
You know, so I can't wait to hear that epic entrance. In the meantime, you got to have LA Knight kind of carry the water. And that's also, wouldn't you say, DT, a test for LA Knight with not having the big champ there, and he's one of the feature guys. Can he pull it off every week and get the town to get off their feet, get on their feet every week? So I think this is also a testing ground for LA Knight not having Roman Reigns on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if Roman is not going to – I mean, Roman will be around like three of the next 4 weeks, I believe.
Yeah, but he's coming back. Consistently.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be at Saudi Arabia too, so he's obviously going to be setting up something as well. But you know, when it's time for him to take some time off again, then if you're left with just LA Knight, you know, that's probably why, you know, we're going to eventually get Cody on a regular basis on SmackDown again, because with Roman Reigns not there, and you can picture it, Cody will be, you know, going on the mic, you know, I'm here, Roman, where are you? You know, they'll rehash a lot of that same shit. But I think Fastlane, I think we agree, another match will likely be added to it. But right now, five matches, none of the matches seem weak. We got to see what additional segments we get, and I really believe Grayson Waller effect or something with Jade Cargill, something could happen there. Now, before we leave, I know we were going to stick around an hour, and we're right now about 54 minutes. I want to just ask you before we go off the air, do you think at Fastlane we see any interaction between Jimmy and Jey Uso? Because a lot of people still believe they will face each other. Some people think still that WWE will hold it off until WrestleMania 40. I don't know if we can deal with another 6 months of, you know, them trolling each other, but do you think they interact at all at Fastlane?
I'm thinking they're going to keep them away from each other because they're preoccupied with other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That why defer from that and derail that? Let them focus on, you know, they're both now, Jay is a certified babyface. You know, he's one of the top babyfaces on Raw. He's a babyface without a doubt. He's not going to turn and do this again. I think he's Cody's partner. He's not going to turn on Cody. He is a babyface. And I think there's a comeuppance and something that he's going to have to face his family at some point. But, yeah, they got to stretch this out. This is just new. I mean, Jay quit WWE a month ago and then came back. Now he's back for a couple of weeks. He's teaming with Cody Rhodes, who brought him in. Cody plays into getting him back in the fold, so to speak. And this is all going to tie together. It's going to be down the road. It's a continuing story. I think they keep them away from each other at Fastlane. I'd be shocked. Because then, you know, I mean, okay, you're right, DT, 6 months, but 6 weeks that they have to keep them away? Now they're already back interacting again after 6 weeks?
You know,
can't they wait till the Survivor Series to have them run into each other?
I'll say this, two things. Maybe Jimmy Uso costs Jay and Cody at Fastlane, and then later in the night, Jay Uso costs Jimmy Uso at Fastlane. Like, each Uso fucks each other's matches up.
I can see that, but I think J.D. McDonagh is the guy costing people stuff, you know, trying to work his way into Judgment Day.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Let me ask you this. Do you, because we know how Saudi Arabia, you know, $100 million per event. I mean, that's...
I've enjoyed the last few Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They've been good.
I personally think Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso could happen in Saudi Arabia.
You're right. If they want to fast track it and speed it up, they can. Come on. WrestleMania, everything that's on people's mind right now is Cody versus Roman, and how does The Rock play into it? I don't think anybody is like, oh, I can't wait till the Mania, the Usos finally meet each other. I think they could maybe do that in Saudi. Saudi's not looked at as a throwaway anymore, DT. I think even some of the doubting podcasters a year and a half, 2 years ago when they started doing this consistently in Saudi, people have warmed up, and they've been glowing five-star reviews from even people who aren't the biggest WWE fans, saying Saudi shows are great. They're not a throwaway. I don't think they ever were meant to be, but they were pushed that way a few years ago by even some people higher up than us in the podcast food chain. that it was not a watch it, don't watch it. You're not going to miss anything if you miss it. Bullshit. There was a lot of good reasons to watch some of that stuff. There was some epic matches, and there was some good angles that were built out of that they took back to America. Yes. So it's not some bullshit show where it's just on its sortie and then they squash it, and then nothing that carries over from that to America. That's not true at all. It's part of the whole thing now with WWE. I think sortie is a can't-miss show. I don't see it as a throwaway show.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I think that will be the fast track. I think the WWE is more about the now. I think WWE realizes that certain matches at WrestleMania, you know, don't have to happen. They're going to make their money whether Rock wrestles or doesn't wrestle. You know, people make it sound like if The Rock doesn't face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40, it's not going to draw. It's not going to sell out. It's like,
it's already sold out.
You don't divert 2 years of a story because it's a spectacle to see Roman versus Rock.
Yeah, and also, DT, the strike is over. This was a couple of weeks ago when we thought, and I even thought, I know my brother reported it, we thought this strike, because my brother's got some friends in the acting and the community who are on strike, and they was thinking this can go past the holidays into the new year. It's resolved. So yes. Cena's plans change and The Rock's plans can now change. The commitment they have is Cody versus Roman. Rock was just a possibility. So I'm not going to get all bent out of shape over the possibility of him being part of it or not. You're getting Cody versus Reigns, and that's what you're supposed to get.
Yes, what you're supposed to get. I think you nailed it. Couldn't have said it any better. And, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is why it's so fun to be a wrestling fan, whether it's AEW, WWE, NXT, or anywhere else, you know. Your fantasy book, you envision what could happen, what should happen, what will happen, what won't happen, what should have happened, what didn't happen, that's the beauty of this, you know. So, Kev, any final words before we call it?
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
Patreon for KNT.
Well, back Thursday. Tomorrow. Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Yeah, that's right.
It's only Tuesday.
That's right. Sorry about that. This Thursday, Trez rejoins me. She rejoined me a couple of weeks ago. She's back now on the regular every other week. So this Thursday for Patreon, KNT Chronicles, 10:15. We usually start about 10:30 now. New start time actually is 10:30.
Okay.
Just more convenient for everybody. So 10:30 NYC time, me and Trez, KNT Chronicles for all Patreons. And anybody, I know you're going to put this up, DT, so anybody hearing this, you'll have time to sign up and check out the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Kev, pleasure as always. Fun combo.
Yeah, good show, man.
And I'm telling you, we're going to increase our predictions percentages for 2023. I think we're going to break 97% with a lot of predictions.
We got to get out of that DraftKings stuff. I saw Cross do a commercial for them, so I'm like, yeah, maybe that's a good sign. We should start betting with DraftKings.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see what happens. All right, man.
Kev, all the best. Talk to you soon. All right, be well. I want to thank everybody for joining me. Little technical tidbit. I know some of you are going to probably say, you know, what was up with Kev's audio? He had a equipment malfunction. I know that sounds more like, you know, like clothing malfunction, but he had an equipment malfunction right before we went live, and he has to get some new equipment. So he did it through his computer. Because, you know, we have to do our prediction show for all of you. So I hope you enjoyed it. I absolutely love a lot of the ideas that he and I came up with. I think some of those ideas could very well happen. It's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. It really is. I mean, you know, I think back to 15 years ago with TNA. You know, they made that quick move to Monday night. It ended up being a disaster, but a lot of people seem to forget. You know, they did about 2 million viewers at some points during, you know, that Monday night appearance. So there were fans that were very, very interested in seeing what was going down. It just never developed into, you know, another war. And I'm not saying that AEW and WWE is going to have a war. It is competition. It is competing with each other to get your viewership, to get your merchandise sales, to get you putting money into what they do. You know, is a big difference between a war and competition, especially when you have social media now. In the 90s to 2001, you did not have social media like this. You had message boards. You had Prodigy chats. You did not have the pro wrestling community all rooting for each other. We all thought that everybody in WCW wanted to beat the fuck out of WWF wrestlers. When WCW was trolling WWF on Nitro, we thought that WWF wrestlers wanted to beat the crap out of WCW wrestlers. And then when WCW went out of business and a bunch of WCW wrestlers went to WWE, you know, we hear rumors that the locker room is very, very nervous because now you got WCW guys showing up and they could take their spots. And then you hear about a lot of the WCW wrestlers not being accepted. And in some cases, you could go even further back when the Public Enemy showed up. We just talked about it on one of the history shows recently. Public Enemy showed up on WWF TV, thought their shit didn't stink. You know, APA took care of them, and that was it. Their career was pretty much done afterwards. Back then, there was a war. Here, it's competition. But at the end of the day, all the wrestlers are rooting for each other because when competition is good, it brings out better matches. You know, look at it like this. You see John Cena back for a little bit. You see The Rock make an appearance. You see on NXT next week that John Cena will be there. Paul Heyman will be there. Asuka will be wrestling. You see, you know, Becky Lynch is the NXT Women's Champion. That's not the wrestlers making the decisions. Hey, I'm going to show up on NXT next week because I feel like it. No, this is the WWE management trying to amp up the quality, the roster, the matches, the interest for our enjoyment. AEW will obviously respond. We already know Adam Copeland will be on their Tuesday show. They will take some big, crazy matches out of the bag. And at the end of the day, the shows are better. The matches are stronger. Our interest, you know, is more. We talk about it more. It's good for us as fans. It's good for the wrestlers. And it's good for the content. So, you know, it's a really, really fun time right now to be a wrestling fan. And especially when we do these prediction shows, that's why when Kevin and I do these, you know, the title is not Fastlane Predictions. It's Fastlane Preview Predictions and More. Because we like to always look at outside the box. What could happen in the future? What could happen down the line? How could this trickle into Saudi Arabia? How could this lead to WrestleMania? And that's why it's always fun to do, especially after all these years. So I'm going to jet out of here. I hope you enjoyed this preview predictions and more for WWE Fastlane. For everybody who is a Patreon and for everybody who is a channel member on YouTube, the predictions contest will be up posted Thursday evening. You will have about a little less than 48 hours to get your entries in. Real cash is up for grabs. Whoever, you know, wins those, good luck. And again, you know, for those out there, you know, if you want to be part of our Patreon, it's patreon.com/DonTony. There's like 6+ years of Patreon exclusive shows that have never been made public that you could access the entire library. We have weekly shows that I do. Weekly shows that Kev does. We do giveaways. All the shows that I do are ad-free over there as well. And as always, DonTony.com. Even if you enjoy the video versions of what I do, download the audio episodes. That keeps what I do alive. And not only that, it keeps us relevant in the charts, in the statistics. You know, when numbers are spread out across so many different platforms, you know, the numbers get skewed. And downloading those shows, you know, basically keeps the exposure. And that's why we do it. After all these years, trust me, we don't just do this simply because we absolutely love wrestling and we want to give back. You know, if we're just talking to ourselves, you know, we might as well, you know, just do it, you know, on our own free time. So, all right, everybody, be well. Enjoy Fastlane. All the best to you. And we'll catch you all again soon. Take care.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah.